Our reading this morning is from the familiar account of the conversion of the jailer at Philippi. We read Acts 16, 25 to 34. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, summoning the prisoners had fled, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Thank you for these words of truth, O Lord, and now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If social media had been there at Philippi, you can imagine what the sound bites probably would have been. Prominent preachers jailed for public disturbance. Violent earthquake shakes prison, but no prisoners escape. A sheriff is converted. He and his family joined the church. But the most intriguing thing about the whole incident is really found in a simple question asked in a jail cell. Do you think the news media today would carry such a soundbite? A life's most crucial question asked from a jail. Simple answer provided. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and your household. Put yourself in the mind of that jailer for a moment. What had to have been racing through his mind suddenly when there was this great earthquake that took place? And he thought that his life would be taken because he was responsible for the prisoners, but then he suddenly realized all the prisoners were there and had not escaped, and Paul and Silas even wanted to make sure that he knew this message, that they were all there. Had this man already learned something about the Savior Jesus Christ? Was he listening very carefully to those songs that were sung by Paul and Silas there in prison? We don't know all the details, but we certainly know this. The Holy Spirit was well at work there, right in that jail. This man, the jailer himself, was not really in the prison himself, was he? I mean, he wasn't the prisoner. He was in charge of him. But think about it really and listen to his situation. He really was the one that was very much imprisoned within himself. What must I do to be saved? Have you ever been inside a prison cell? The first time that I was in a penitentiary, and by the way, I was there visiting a man on a pastoral visit. But I recall that it just really struck me as far as this guy was a five-timer, and so he was really deep inside the prison, but I had to go through at least four, maybe even five, heavily locked or heavily weighted doors and so on, crashing behind me. They open up and then they crash after me and so on. And I stood with a guard as we went through, one after the other. I was thinking to myself, boy, what's this guy really in for? I was going to meet him for the first time. I really wondered, am I the one that's really supposed to go visit this guy? Think about it. We talked about this jailer and how imprisoned he must have felt in his situation. Yeah, he was even suicidal, you know. But just think, when he asks the question, what must I do to be saved, he already knew that his life was going to be spared. Externally, he saw that the prisoners were there. So there's something else at work. Holy Spirit at work, convincing this man of his great need. His need for salvation. What must I do to be saved? How about us? When it comes to our lives, there are times when we're feeling very high, and there's times when we're feeling very low, maybe even so low that, unfortunately, if so low that we may wonder about taking our life. Sad. But at the same time, it is important for us still to understand the imprisonment situation we're in by nature because of our sinful condition. And do we always think about that? There are times when we do, but then there's other times, I think, where we may look around us and we see other things going on and we say, well, I'm not really at the bottom of the barrel. So, after all, God's going to have to give me a break, isn't he? I started to think about that comparison issue and so on. But then we're stopped up short, aren't we? Whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. Then, too, there can come those temptations. The temptations, even though we're brought up and understand what the Bible says about various things, certainly about morality issues, too, and yet the tempter can come along and say, especially at this time in life, by the way, college age and so on, too, can say, yeah, you know what the book says, but why don't you live a little, experiment a little in your life? See what it's like a little bit that way. You can always return. But you know that's the voice of the wicked one, and that path is only going to lead to more imprisonment. And actually, it's even an eternal kind of imprisonment that way. It reminds me of, was it just last week, where an Illinois teenager, a young girl had decided she would check out a prison that had been abandoned, I think, since 2002. She went in and wondered, what is it going to be like to be inside a jail cell? So she went in and she closed the door, not realizing how locked it would be. And she was stuck for quite some time, I guess. And then a friend had to go get help to get her out. There's only one way, one answer for us to be able to get out of our prisons this way. When it comes to our sinful condition, our spiritual kind of imprisonment, and even eternal kind of imprisonment, it's got to be the help that comes from the outside. It's got to be the help that comes from heaven. It's got to be the help that comes in the form of a person. The person. The one that that Paul and Silas mentioned right here to this jailer, to his family. We wonder about the other prisoners too. Did they come to faith through this too? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Notice the jailer had asked the question, what must I do to be saved? And the apostles did not respond by saying, okay, here's what you got to do, point by point. They just simply mentioned Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be saved, you and your household. Simple message. Take hold of it. We know that faith, too, is worked by the Holy Spirit alone. And it's interesting, of course, in the case of the jailer, that he is first brought to faith through hearing the message. And then, and it's sort of like the Ethiopian eunuch, certainly that way, brought to faith through the message and then is baptized later in his household. But that's what I also want us to think about as we leave this text here. I want us to think also about this. This is a fascinating thing. When the apostles said to the man, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. But then there's the addition, you and your household will be saved. And we know that there had to have been, right, some kind of discussion about baptism taking place, as would have been the case with the Ethiopian eunuch that way too. Some kind of teaching. I don't know, it was a 15-course instruction that was taking place in just 10 minutes or something like that, I doubt it. But certainly thorough instruction on baptism. And focus on the question, what must I do to be saved, even for the whole household that way, emphasizing baptism. What can you and I really learn from this as we go away today? Can't we learn this? Yes, we take comfort in our own baptism, but can't we also learn that there's a desire for us in our locations where we are, right now even in our households, our relatives, our close friends that we're around. Right here at Bethany, you're developing very close friends. Does everybody know the answer to that question, what must I do to be saved? Does everybody understand the power of holy baptism this way? Isn't baptism that opening discussion for us even with so many, even inside our own families that way? Remember, it was the same Apostle Paul who had said to the Galatian people about baptism, the baptism that he must have talked to the jailer about and the family about this way. And he said, you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. In this 500th year of the Lutheran Reformation, you're hearing a lot of quotations, of course, from Martin Luther and so on, but one of the best quotations that we could refer to is found in his large catechism, and it's on the subject of baptism. And I'm going to paraphrase a little bit of it and then quote his words. But he uses the illustration of a doctor, a medical doctor who's got a medicine, let's say, that has a medicine that is able to save people from dying. He says, just think of how the whole world would flock around this doctor to get that medicine. They would pay all kinds of money for it. And he says this. This is how we must think about baptism. This is the medicine that helps us and make it profitable for ourselves. So when our sins and conscience oppress us, we strengthen ourselves and take comfort and say, nevertheless, I am baptized. And if I am baptized, it is promised to me that I shall be saved and have eternal life, both in soul and body. May God comfort us with this washing taking place for our own life that way. But may he also help us to share this message, the message that the jailer had with his family, too. And may we share this message with others, wherever we are, at home, at college, wherever life takes us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy household. Amen.